This is a Foo Bar Radio podcast. For more information, go to foobarradio.com.
Foo Bar Radio presents
Access All Areas.
I have a new co-host tonight, Alex Mark, another hot guest in the studio.
Sophie Herman, the German from Made in Chelsea.
Oh, here he is, Miles. That's not what
Perfect
Miles
timing.
Enters the room.
Situations, though, when you go to the same bar and there's multiple girls that you're dating.
It's actually quite funny you say that, because we went to Bluebird and I was dating this girl, and then I didn't realise the other girl came to the bar and they were friends. I had no idea.
Oh, God.
That's an awkward conversation for them to have.
Oh,
my God.
Do you want a drink?
Every Thursday from 6 p.m. on Foo Bar Radio.
We have a very handsome guest that's come in the studio.
Exceptionally handsome guest.
Stop it. Buy me a drink first. Thank you for having
Tristan
me.
Tristan Pheeps. Now, star of Made in Chelsea.
Oh, ex-star of Made in Chelsea.
Ex-star,
no
yes.
No longer filming.
Why is that?
I found love. I found love.
And in a hopeless place?
In a hopeless place.
Yeah.
So I'm dating Laura and... Laura Crane.
From Love Island.
From Love Island. And that was, unfortunately, not in keeping with... They didn't want to film that. So I'm...
Oh.
I chose love.
Conflict.
I chose love.
Right. You chose love
wow,
over...
You chose love. Wow. Because I have to say, that's very refreshing in this... Of the world of showbiz. Because you're on a major big show that's so popular.
Yeah, I think it's important to stay true to yourself.
It is.
So that was an easy option for me. Easy choice.
Wow, a young man with integrity in television.
It's very rare.
Very, very rare.
I don't think I've met one. I have today. Wow, that's incredible. Yeah. What was the crux? Did they find out about Laura and they say, right, you cannot be in the show if you're going to continue?
It's an interesting one. I'm not really sure the politics behind it. So I did the season, then we had a bit of time off, and then Laura and I met at a charity event that it was a boxing event. I was boxing in the Raffles Rumble, it was called.
Did you win?
I was a draw in the end.
Oh.
It was a draw, but
no
a proper
wonder
draw,
she fell
draw.
For you.
And she was the ring lady.
She
was the ring lady, so I chatted her up in the ring and it worked. But
oh.
It kind of just, you know, we had some time off and we got together, and then when it came out and we met back with the producers, it just wasn't a story that they could cover. I came on as a single lad and I wasn't anymore.
That's a bit harsh. So it is really controlled then, is it? Are they quite controlling on what you can and can't do, who you can and can't see? Clearly,
you
fell in love and they weren't happy with it.
You know, it's something I've made peace with it. I'm happy where I am now, and, you know, I understand their reasons for it.
Do you?
You know,
but you see, what I'm always told, these shows, TOWIE, Made in Chelsea, you know, the Housewives of, you know, Cheshire, that it's real life and that it's not staged or scripted.
Oh, come
no,
on,
they always say that when they come on. And Eamon Holmes interviewed some of the stars from the Housewives of Cheshire and they were like, no, it's not scripted. And now, look, there's lovely, you find real love and you're not, you've actually got to choose either TV show or my girlfriend.
Easy choice for me.
I absolutely commend you for that decision because it's a real one. You made a real decision, a life decision.
Can I just tell you, because so many I meet would, this is what they would have done, kept it quiet about the girlfriend, said, okay, I'm going to put you in the background, we won't be out, we'll do it sneakily, I'll pretend I'm single just for the show and get the limelight and the fame. You know what? How honest and refreshing.
It's just, sometimes
honestly,
you've got to be upfront.
Do you and Laura live together now?
No.
No,
not
so it's
no.
still very new.
We've been together 6 months.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
getting
quite
on.
Good.
That's quite
not
good.
Bad.
I'm happy with that.
But it's still
six
new.
Months next week, actually.
It's still new.
Who's counting?
6 months next week. You are so cute. And how do you find with what Laura does? Because she's very much in the public eye.
She is.
Well.
Yeah. What's great about Laura is that we've got very similar outlooks on life. Before Love Island, she's a professional surfer. She's very heavily involved with conservation, ocean plastic, that kind of thing. So it's a perfect match in terms of what we want to do and where we see our future, kind of.
I can see a couple here
travelling
the world talking about
conservation. I feel like
we're off to Bali next week and then...
Are you?
So
are you filming that? Is that being filmed?
I will be, yeah, I'll be. For my YouTube, I'll be filming.
So you're going to do it through YouTube?
Yes, I will.
That's a great way.
Yeah.
Great
way.
Take control.
Exactly. And, it's, you know,
and
it's
she
your
is
own thing.
A lovely girl because she's been on the show a few times. And she's she was quite poorly, wasn't she? She was quite ill.
She was, yeah. Sepsis was... Yeah, that was a tough time. That was just before I met her, so I didn't go through that ordeal with her, but she's bounced back.
She's
strong.
Yes. No, she's fine. She's an amazing girl. So sporty and fit. Mm. She's so... she was in the video, wasn't she? Was it Max's video? Pop video. I remember seeing her.
Barcelona.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually saw that recently.
Yeah, I flashed
great
up and
video.
I thought, oh my gosh, she looks incredible.
Yeah.
But you make a lovely couple and I really wish you well and well done.
Thanks.
For doing what you've done. No, Made in Chelsea. That's not on, is it?
No. Well, I know, it's not on because, I mean, what did you miss out on any opportunities or anything while you were waiting? How long do they renew contracts?
I haven't spoken to them for about about, I haven't been filming for about 5 months, so since the beginning of the season. I've been getting with all sorts of other things, you know, in my time, but it's kind of like an open-ended thing, so, you know, one day it might work out, but at the moment it's not. It's
provided
not,
you're single again.
Yeah.
Right.
And are you still friends with the others? Sam Thompson and...
Sophie.
Sophie, yeah. Lovely. Miles and James, put my two boys on the show.
Are they?
Yeah, still see them a lot. I was going to move in with James.
Oh, were you?
I was, yeah. Not anymore.
Oh, well, clearly,
not
yeah.
Not anymore.
Fell in love.
Fell in love.
Yeah, no, it's really good. I had a great time with him and met some really cool people and, you know, it was great fun for its time. But
you don't actually live in Chelsea.
Fulham.
Fulham.
On the border.
Oh, no. You're
near my way.
I'm near
my way.
A bus away.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, there's quite a few, because I've quit the show as well.
Yeah, I mean, Sam's not filming this year.
Sam's not filming.
Same thing?
Louise Thompson's not filming.
I just, you know, Sam was on it forever. He's been involved. I think it was a natural progression for him just... Maybe just
and is it
enough.
Like a 9-to-5 job where you have to...
It's more than a 9-to-5, yeah.
Well, so you've always got cameras on you constantly.
There's a lot of admin in terms of keeping up to date with the kind of the gossip and what's what. And it's a lot.
Right.
It's a lot.
There's a lot to do.
Yeah, so it's kind of...
I wonder if they
made
in Chelsea can survive without these big stars, because you all have been such big stars and well-known
figures.
Well,
there's a lot of new faces on this season particularly as well, so, you know.
I think with these things, dare I say it, it's so disposable, it seems. Like, there's always a new generation of people that can just come through and, you know, you can't keep up with it, really.
Yeah, you've had the core guys who are on there for ages, and you've had the Jamies and the Alexes and the Sams, and those guys kind of hold the show together, and it's getting that next generation right, I guess. And that's where, for me, it wasn't going to be an ongoing thing. Couldn't commit to that.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I wish you so much success.
Thank
You're
you.
Such a lovely
Thank you
guy.
Much.
And I wish you and Laura, I mean, we're coming to the wedding, by the way.
Yeah, 100%. You
know? Shall I buy a hat?
Oh,
yeah.
Please.
It's going to be on the beach somewhere, so
bring
that Hawaiian shirt. If you've got another one, I'd love to buy it.
I've got loads, yes. Trust me. Yeah.
I love a Hawaiian shirt, one of my favourite.
It's going to be on the beach, perfect place for you
perfect
and Laura to
place.
Get married. Oh, wow, I think I could be bridesmaid.
This is very preemptive. Let's just...
I feel this
we'll
is happening.
We'll see how 6 months
goes. 6 months, come on, ease up on him.
They seem very well suited, and I wish you loads of luck.
Fubar Radio.
My name is Dr. Ranj. I'm one of the resident doctors on This Morning and on CBeebies, and I recently did Strictly, which was good fun. I've just done the Lizzie and Stephen show on Fubar Radio. We chatted everything from weight loss to coming out to food to parties to 40th birthdays to cheeky snogs, actually. And there was a bit of an exclusive in there, and Stephen is going to kill me for saying that. But it was so much fun. I've known Lizzie and Stephen for years, and it was like coming back home and meeting your mates and just having a drink and having a natter and a gossip with them. So I've had a fantastic time.
Fubar Radio presents.
Sat opposite me in the studio today is the very lovely Lucy Peach. Me personally, like, I love a skinny guy, and I think that's beautiful. I think all bodies are beautiful. So I get that, you know, you feel insecure about your body and you might want to cover it up, but, like, I don't want you to.
I think when you really consider why we're all feeling insecure, it's because we've just been sold this bullcrap that you have to look a certain way and be a certain way. On Instagram, I follow a lot of body positive sort of pages, and, you know, the first time I saw someone posting her stretch marks or her cellulite, I sort of thought, oh, yeah, that's good for her, I guess. I don't know that I could do that. But after like a year of looking at this stuff and seeing it and digesting it, now I believe it.
Every Wednesday.
Callum McSwiggin.
From 6 p.m. Fubar Radio.
Today I am joined by the absolutely gorgeous, the absolutely stunning. It is Mr. Freddie Bentley.
Hey.
Freddie, are you ready for a game?
Babe, I was born ready.
We haven't yet named this game, so maybe you can help us name it. So currently it's Unnamed Sex Toy Game.
Right.
So maybe we can think of a title together for this game. But basically, in this game, I have written down in front of me the names of 6 different sex toys.
Okay.
Some of these are 100% real. Right. And some of them have been completely made up and fabricated. I don't know the answers. I do not have the answers here in front of me. So I guess we're going to have to try and figure out these together. Okay. And our lovely producers will tell us the answers.
Oh, how exciting.
So do you want to hear the first one?
Let's do it.
Silicone Dino Shock.
That sounds like it would hurt.
It does sound like it would hurt. And I'm thinking, like, because have you seen those, like, whale penises?
No.
There's, like, you can get these dildos and they're, like, orca penises. And they're, like, this long, like,
like a foot long or something, maybe even longer.
I can barely get 8 inch, let alone that. Fuck that.
And they look terrifying as well because they're made to look like an actual like whale penis. And oh, so man. That's the thing that exists. So I'm thinking that this silicone dino shock might be like a T-Rex dick.
I think you're going to have to sign some T&Cs before entering that. That sounds dangerous.
It does sound dangerous. I think I'm thinking a little bit of vibrate on the go as well.
Yeah.
Give you that shock.
Ease it in. Bit of lube.
But I think they could have easily made this up as well.
I think it's made up. I've never heard it. I'm a big fan of Ann Summers, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
And
you know all their range, do you?
Yeah, I mean, not in and out. But I don't think it's real, do you?
I'm not sure. Like, I've done a lot of, like, I've done videos and stuff in the past on my YouTube channel where I've talked about, like, done, like, sex toy reviews and things.
I've done a sex toy
Have
review.
You? Yeah. What did you review?
It was with Pink Nose, and we reviewed loads of sex toys, and that didn't come up.
The dino shock didn't come up. Did you do a magic wand? The massive one.
No, I didn't do that, but I had a unicorn anal bead. It was amazing.
What, a unicorn anal?
I had a towel, so you shove it up your arsehole and you're running around like a unicorn because it had a massive glittery towel.
Well, I'm not going to jump ahead, but I feel like that might actually be on the list here in front of
well,
me.
Well, that's real.
So are we saying not real to this?
I'm going
to
say not real.
Yeah, I'm going
go
to go
with
you.
Me?
I'm going to go with you, but I'm not convinced. Yeah, we are saying that this is completely made up. The silicone dino shock does not exist. The answer is, it is indeed fake.
It's fake.
It's fake.
I knew my sex toys, babe.
I shouldn't have doubted you.
No, I know. Not just follow my lead, hon, and you'll be fine.
All right, our next one is the Jimmy Jane Hello Touch.
That sounds like a toy.
Jimmy Jane.
What
Jimmy
does that
Jane.
Mean?
I think that's like, maybe that's like the brand.
Branding.
Jimmy Jane Hello Touch.
Maybe there's a celebrity called Jimmy Jane and they brought their own range out. That is possible.
It is possible. It's making me think of Hello Kitty, which is making me feel very uncomfortable.
It made me, I was going to say that, but I didn't want to get, you know.
Didn't want to get in trouble.
You didn't want to get in trouble. That's what I mean. I thought, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut.
Yes,
you
me.
Do
it's
the
always
talking.
Me. I don't know. Like, this doesn't, to me, this doesn't sound that elaborate. Like, it doesn't sound exciting enough to be fake. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
I know what you mean. It's very like...
kind of generic.
Tesco. Like,
yeah.
Just one simple word.
Yeah.
Branding.
I could see this being on a sex toy website.
I think it's real.
I do as well. Should we say real?
Let's say real.
Okay, we are saying real. And the answer is... oh, it is real.
It is real.
Woo! Okay, so for those with a penis, you can use it to stimulate the prostate as well as other parts. And for those with a vagina, it can be used to stimulate the clitoris.
Wow. Have we got any of them?
And it's like vibrating silicone finger pads and it can be used all over. And it's very expensive, $145.
Oh my God.
Wow, that is an investment. That is an expensive toy.
Oh wait, I've just seen a picture of it.
Oh, that looks fun.
It looks so much fun.
So it like it attaches to your fingers, and I guess it makes your fingers more powerful for having
posh
a little
way
play.
Of fingering.
Yeah, posh away a fingering. Exactly that.
Wow.
It looks like fun.
Please sponsor me.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to pay $145 for it.
No.
That is steep. I did once get gifted a gold plated vibrator.
Was it good?
I never used it. I sold it on eBay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, I don't need a gold-plated...
No. I've got a gold little bullet, and it was cute.
Yeah? What, actual gold on it?
Oh, not like real, babe.
Yeah, no, this one was like real.
No,
like real,
you
like
are joking.
Gold plating. Probably not like expensive gold, but yeah, like real gold.
Wow.
Yeah. That's why
amazing.
I sold it. I was like, I don't need this. Like, I could do with the money.
I don't blame you. I do that all the time.
Should we do the next one?
Let's do it.
Squeal Go.
Oh, God.
Sounds a bit shit.
I vomited in my mouth.
Did you?
Squeal. It sounds like scream and go.
Well, I was thinking, that just makes me think of pigs. And I don't want to go down that. I don't want to go down that road,
no,
Freddy.
You don't want to be shagging no pigs.
I don't want to be having sex with pigs. We're
no.
not about that. We do not approve of bestiality. Squeal Go.
This is turned weird.
Oh, I don't know. Like, again, it sounds a bit rubbish. Like, if you did make that up, producers, you could have done a better job. That was a bit naff.
She's fuming.
She's livid with me now. I'm in big trouble.
Squealing pig. Joe, I'm going to say that it's true because people have some weird fetishes.
I'm thinking it's false and they've deliberately made it sound really rubbish to try and trip us up.
Well, how about we split decisions?
You want to go against each other?
Well, I just think, well, someone's got to win, haven't they?
What if you want to turn it into competition? We can turn it into competition, Freddie.
It's a game, isn't it?
Okay, fine. We'll be against each other. I'm saying that this is made up, and you're saying this.
I'm saying it's real.
Okay, we'll see who's right, shall we? Answers, please. It is real. Ah, oh, Freddie.
Oh yeah.
You know what? Fuck you.
Yeah, I'm one ahead.
I invite you onto my radio show. We try a new game, and you turn on me.
It's gonna be Wednesdays with Freddie thing. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
Yeah, it's now Freddie's show.
You're absolutely real. Shocking at this game.
Tuesday Takeover with Elf Lines on Foodbar Radio.
Hello, listeners. So, from the mysterious allure of Thom Yorke's soundtrack in Suspiria to the nostalgia-inducing work of John Williams, we all have our favourites when it comes to film soundtracks. John Williams had the ability to scare for us from All Going in the Water in 1975 with Jaws, and most hotel corridors are terrifying if you imagine Wendy Carlos and Rachel Elkins' infamous The Shining soundtrack playing behind you. That's what you can currently listen to right now. Music has the ability to transform a moment, and I think we can all agree, make or break a film. Thus, as one unknown person famously quipped, everyone has one great book in them, I believe we all have one great film, and this is what I'm keen to find out. Welcome to my Tuesday Takeover. This is Elf Lyons. I'm in charge of FUBAR Radio for the next 2 hours. I am very excited, and I have the wonderful guest, Johnny Wu, who is just sashaying over on the other side of me.
Am I sashaying? I'm kind of like fist pump in the air.
Your fist pump in the air. You look so excited.
I'm very excited.
So Johnny Wu, I've invited him because I love him and he's brilliant. And this is it. He has an unlimited budget to make his dream film. He could have perhaps already made this film. This film could have already won all the Oscars or all the awards in the world. I don't know. It's totally up to Johnny.
No.
Yes. So tell me a bit about... what are your favourite films?
Okay, my favourite films are... I know what these films are. I'm very clear. Secrets and Lies, on which it's going to feature a lot. Mm-hmm. Mike Lee, that is definitely one of my favourite films. I watched it very recently. It's very hard to kind of find, actually. It was very hard to find on DVD, and when everyone was watching DVDs. And it's quite tricky to find. It's not like on Netflix, but I found it on Amazon. It's a Mike Lee film. Whenever I watch it, you laugh, you cry... It's kind of like, the great thing about Mike Lee is that he's kind of, he's really good at capturing this kind of like incessant chitter chatter of kind of people. And when I go home to my parents, it feels like I'm in a Mike Lee film. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like witching, and nothing's actually being said and nothing's actually happening. But beneath it, you know, there's a big fat skeleton in the closet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of like, that's one of my favourite films. The other one is Billy Elliot. So we might get some Billy Elliot in. I didn't even think of that. Billy Elliot, dancing.
And you're a fantastic dancer.
Oh, thanks.
You are incredible. Like, for anyone who's not seen Johnny Wu perform, he is... You're a polymath of skills, aren't you? You're like a drag extraordinaire.
Well, we're going to bring them all into this film
today.
And the other film, which I really love, there's a couple more, which I said, but I don't know how we'll fit this in, is Dogville. Lars von Trier's, where he kind of like painted the set on the... floor of the studio in Lines, which is an actually incredible idea. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
I had to
study Lars von Trier.
Oh my god, it's absolutely amazing, isn't it? Nicole Kidman is cold and icy. She's the victim, but you kind of wanted to get it. You just be like, yeah, get it. And then she's kind of that when she's dragging around that metal hoop, dragging it about, and the kids are.
And it has Paul Bettany in it as well.
Paul Bettany in it as well.
Problem with Lars von Trier is he's known for making his actors never want to work with him ever. Again, like Bjork after Dancer in the Dark was said that she would now never perform in any films because it was so horrific to work with.
Lauren Bacall, I think she did two. She did that and then she did Mandalay.
But she only
did a very small part in Mandalay.
I remember I had to go on a terrible date. I didn't know it was going to be a terrible date at the time, but I went on this date with this man and we went to ZZ's, which is fine. Bloomin' love a pizza, but he ordered for me. He ordered on my behalf. He said, "You won't know what's good to eat because you're
without you even kind of like
yeah, your palate's not yet because he was slightly older."
Oh my god, how old was he?
It doesn't matter.
How old were you?
I was about 18, 19.
Okay,
and he was
pizza. What can your palate not recognise on a pizza?
I know. Well, I think it's fair to say he wasn't the best guy. Yeah. And then he said, "Well, because I think it's only fair that you get to pick the film." And so there were lots of different films on, and I just went, I really want us to go and see Antichrist by Lars von Trier,
oh,
which,
really?
If you've ever seen it, there's a beautiful scene where a woman cuts a man's penis off, I think.
Really?
So either that or another part of his genitals. It was quite squeamish, but I thought it sort of subtly got the message across that.
God, that's a perfect date really, movie. If they can survive that, you know, you might have a good one.
He's the one.
Yeah, I've only seen a few Lars von Trier's, but Dr. Phillips is one of my favourite films. Wizard of Oz, of course.
Yeah.
It's there. Wizard of Oz is there. The Hours, I love. You're talking about soundtracks, actually, and The Hours has got a killer soundtrack.
I feel like anything, you put Meryl Streep in anything and it's a safe space. You know, you're going to get the drama, you're going to get some really beautiful piano and cello music in the background, you're going to get a fantastic speech.
But that's a good film. And Julianne Moore is amazing in it. And Toni Collette is just so good.
Are they all going to make an appearance in this film?
Let's get them all in. Maggie Smith has to get in here too.
Okay, so let's crack on first of all with your film. Mikely Inspired. You are the
Mikely
director.
Mikely Inspired.
What is the title of your film, Johnny?
Oh, I didn't know we had to have a title.
You have to have a title. I put you on the spot.
Secrets. My dad's an Elvis Presley impersonator.
My dad's an Elvis Presley impersonator.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That all comes out.
Okay.
So this film is kind of based loosely on truth, factual information.
Would you say this is a semi-autobiographical film?
And there are some secrets in here. There's a big family secret in here.
So people who followed your oeuvre of work, they'll come and see this film for the first time at the Curzon, at the Prince Charles, and they'll go, wow,
Sundance,
this explains so much Venice about Johnny.
Film Festival.
Okay. And who are the cast? So is the title protagonist you, Johnny?
Oh, God, I am the title. I am the main character. Who can play me? Help me out here. Who's going to play me? Because I'm going to be about 16. 16, 17. Who's like a 16, 17-year-old actor?
I'm trying to think about who would be good at dancing. I mean, if we're putting ballet into it. My immediate thought is the gentleman who plays Gendry in Game of Thrones.
You're listening to Football Radio.
Studio by professional actor Rebecca Staton.
Well done, that's exactly how you say it.
Oh, it's time for the game.
Yes.
I'd name some people, and you have to say whether the next person is better or worse than the person before, based entirely on my own opinion.
Okay. What, on your opinion?
Yeah.
Oh, how do I know what your opinion is?
That's it.
That's exciting.
Sandra Bullock, is she better or worse than Benicio del Toro?
I think she's better.
She is better.
Yeah! I like this game.
Every Friday, Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's
Fan Club from 12 PM.
FUBAR Radio.
We're joined in the studio now by prolific YouTuber Oliver Harper.
Hello, chaps. How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
I worked as a projectionist for like I think 7 years.
Maybe. Were they in the 35mm days?
Oh yes, yeah, 35mm. And I left due to them changing over to digital.
What cinema?
Cineworld.
And they changed over to digital, and you were outraged.
I wasn't outraged. I mean, I knew I needed to move on at some point, but it was, you know, when I left, they'd had half 35 and the rest digital, and then they're basically phasing out all the projectionists. So they'd be replaced along the line, more digital projectors on one giant server. Film comes on a hard drive, upload it. People downstairs, the managers just create a playlist, and then boof, Bob's your uncle, done.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that why when stuff is out of focus, it takes fucking ages for it to be sorted?
Oh, yeah, they've got to get the usher or people shoveling popcorn and go, oh, I've got one upstairs now, and then adjust the focus and or restart the projector.
Because it's not manual. Oh, obviously, it's not manually operated anymore. But
So replace them all with two.
It's a shame, isn't it? You might as well just be watching a Blu-ray.
Yeah, but you don't get, you know, the scratches, you don't get the film cutting up, whatever. So, consistent.
But I like all that. I mean, the stuff like that that makes it feel like cinema to me.
Yeah. It's that experience of growing up and watching those films in cinema yourself, and then when it's all like digital, you're just watching like a. It's like watching a Blu-ray on a massive projector.
Yeah. I remember finding out about that thing when the reels end and you get the little mark.
Oh,
It's like Fight Club, wasn't it, that bit?
Oh, yeah.
That's in the book as well.
Is it?
Oh. Which is really weird. Like, the film is almost a literal translation from the book. There's like one subplot on a beach that's kind of not in it. But like,
because everyone always said that to me when I was a projectionist. They're like, oh, did you cut splice in a penis, you know, like in Fight Club? I was like, where are we going to get that 35mm, you know, shot of some bloke's dick?
Oh, I can get you one if you want.
You know,
I like the idea of a 35mm penis.
What's funny about that?
Nothing there.
But it was that, yeah, so once I was made redundant, I had time to kill and thought, well, let's have a stab at this YouTube. And it was like, at the time, everyone reviewing movies was either just bashing them. I think that was it, really. I mean, there wasn't that many YouTubers sort of celebrating the films they grew up watching.
Sure.
So I thought, well, let's take perspective of have something educational with a critique.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of evolved over that. So, yeah, it's been...
So what, you bought a camera?
No, I'm never on camera when I do the reviews.
Of course not.
Yeah, no. Editing.
I've just seen you do more recent reviews when you're on camera.
I had done stuff on camera, but for the retrospectives, that stuff that kind of the channel's built on, it's just all like edited stuff with footage from films, documentaries, where I can find the stuff.
So the format of that is you do sort of an edited highlights of the film.
Like a trailer. I do like a trailer at the beginning, then it's sort of like a introduction about its history, production, cast, then tell the story, then go into visual effects, the music in the film, the score. Because most people, when they often critique movies, they never discuss the score itself.
The elements that make the film.
Mm. Yeah, because if you took away the score from Star Wars, it's not going to work. The whole film falls flat. So, you know, not commenting on the quality of that and its importance, I thought was always valid, I think, when critiquing a film, especially one that has something like a Alan Silvestri or James Horner or John Williams score attached to it. You've got to talk about it.
And you can talk about it in the context of their body of work, not just in terms of the film and where that played. You know, oh, this film had a good soundtrack. It's just that, what did this score sound like compared to the, you know, the rest of their films?
Yeah, exactly. And if I discussed a movie such as Batman from 1989, I'd talk about like the video games that came out, because that was an interesting aspect, because, you know, I played video games as a kid and I still play them now and again.
Actually, I remember the Batman video game.
Yeah, the one for the, I think,
Amiga.
Commodore Amiga.
Yeah.
That was a big deal at the time.
Oh, yeah, you shoot your thing out and go around corners in your Batmobile.
Yeah.
But you've got to shoot your wire out. And you've got another bit where you've got to put all your different chemicals together.
I didn't
play computer games. I remember the Ghostbusters game on the Spectrum.
So do I.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was the shittest game. It took fucking ages to upload.
And weren't you going around a map as well?
It was going around a map, and yeah, it took ages. I had a Spectrum in like 1983, which also had The Hunchback of Notre Dame on it.
Oh yes, I remember that game.
Which was a great game. The cover artwork was fantastic.
I think I found that weird about scores recently. I watched Howard the Duck the other week.
Yeah, we never got to the end of that.
Thomas Dolby does so the soundtrack bad. For it, does the song in it, and the main theme, they ask Thomas Dolby to do it, and he's like, he's a one-hit wonder, but he obviously is massive in America for like 6 months. Yeah. So they get him to do all the music for it, apart from the main theme, and they go, and he's like, nah, I'm too busy to do the main theme. It's like, you've done everything else. And so they call up John Barry and go, will you do it? And John Barry goes, yeah. So John Barry does just the main theme, but all the other music is Thomas Dolby.
That
must be a bizarre
Army
of Darkness, yeah, because Danny Elfman did the main theme.
He did the main theme, then Joseph LaDuca did But the weird thing about that is that it feels so intertwined. I mean, it's not like you go, well, that's Danny. I mean, it does all sound like Danny Elfman.
You can't tell difference. No. That's good orchestrations and good composers sort of copying each other.
Jesse, it must have been a real kick in the dick for John Barry, to do Howard the Duck after everyone, like Thomas Dolby has basically turned it down, and they go, John Barry? And he's like, yeah, I'll do it.
I don't see it like that. I see it like John Barry coming in and saving the day.
This
fucking punk, he turned up, he did 90% of the work, we just need a theme.
I like to think they've got like a roll of money going. And he's gone, yeah, right. I mean, that's the only way you can sort of justify it.
My name's Elliot Spellagudder, and I've just been on FUBAR Radio on Nick and Nat's fan club. And I really enjoyed myself. It was lovely. And I really enjoyed talking about things I'm a fan of. I think that's the experience that most people get from coming on fan club. And I think it's the experience people want to get when listening to fan club as well, making funny jokes and delivering witty riposts. It's all a good bit of fun, isn't it? Because when we listen to the radio, we want to laugh and we want to have a nice time. And I think me, Nick and Nat have succeeded. Thank you very much.
FUBAR Radio presents Harriet Rose. Elle Devine is in the studio with me right now, babes.
Hello. Like, my best friend Niall was really into music, and I just like to copy everything he did, but like try and do it better. So I was really competitive as a child, so that's how I kind of got into music at first. We'd like played in little bands and stuff just in my spare bedroom, and like we took the mattress off the bed frame and then like performed on the bed frame stage and got our other friend to like flick the lights on and off, and it was like special.
That's absolutely sick.
Yeah, it was amazing. Sold out show.
Whoa!
Every Thursday from 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Matilda Homer, welcome to the building.
Thanks.
How are you?
I'm great. I've had a bit of a stressful morning walking through Green Park.
Why?
Because Victoria's closed down. Victoria Station.
Why? I was there just yesterday.
Yeah, bad. I don't even know.
Like, oh, bad vibes.
Yeah, no, like loads of police and stuff.
Oh, bad times.
So I had to walk past Buckingham Palace.
Oh gosh, that was a bit of fun. See the guards doing that weird thing where they just stare into nothing.
That is really shocking, because I thought that was only in like 1920s, but no, it still happens.
No, it's still a thing, and it's also, for me, I've got a very short attention span. So even thinking about them standings, that still makes me stressed out.
I was literally like, I can't believe you still exist. You're wearing those weird wigs.
Yeah.
And the red suits, and you're doing a weird walk like you've pooed in your pants.
Yeah, and they probably have.
They probably, because they're there for so long.
Yeah.
Where do they wee?
They just have a little wee. No, they have break. They have breaks.
They have breaks. They're not, probably have to hold.
No, it's just the same two guys that are there all the time.
Yeah, they were marching like up and down with like bow and arrows.
Oh, that is bow and arrows. That is the changing of the guard. So that is when they change to the next guy, girl, they march around.
Is there girls though?
I mean, I'd have to ask the Queen herself, but I will WhatsApp her after this and see what she says. She doesn't get back to me always straight away, so I might have to get back
to you. Probably busy waving.
Yeah, she's busy. She's a busy girl. Tell me, how are you? Sunny Like You EP is out now.
It is. Sunny Like You is out, and it is also Sunny Like You today.
Sunny Like You. And also, I like it's Sunny Like You, and I think I read that you said about it, that it's kind of talking about your friends and your lovers and family. Lovers.
Well, it's quite like a...
I sound like someone's
loads of them.
And your lovers.
It's quite like a one... I wanted people to read it and be like, oh, Sunny Like Me.
Yeah.
Like, direct, personable kind of vibe.
And is that how people have reacted to it? Like, what kind of was the fan reaction when you put it out?
I mean, it's pretty direct. I write lyrics that are quite easy to understand, so it's direct, I'd say.
Is that deliberate?
Yeah, because it's kind of my chatting in songs. I don't really metaphorically hide it.
No.
So I just like chat what I've kind of been up to or what I feel. It's easier to chat in songs than to chat in real life.
But I feel like you're good at chatting in real life as well.
I mean, probably when it comes to like boyfriends and stuff.
Like real serious things.
You don't want to say it out loud. So you just put in a song and then send them an MP3 file.
Oh my God.
That sounds more romantic than it is.
But also, it did sound really romantic, but also sounded like the most 21st century thing
exactly,
in the world.
That's perfect.
But I'm here for it, because if I could be a singer, I would also do that to avoid awkward conversations with
people. Perfect. Literally the best ticket out of weird conversations.
Do you find when you get annoyed, and obviously you may be the kind of person that never gets annoyed at anything, but if you are the kind of person that finds something irritating, gets annoyed with someone, sometimes can you just go and write a song about it and then you're over it?
I've done that so many times.
Oh, I'm there so was like jealous.
There's some mean people at the place I used to work, and I never said anything because I hate confrontation, but I went and wrote a song and it's like so obviously about them. But like, I haven't even released it. It was just like for myself, little, that's off the list, that can disappear.
But you kind of can let go.
It is. It's kind of like therapy. It's so cringe to say that because
it's not.
Everyone says that, but it is actually kind of like therapy.
I go to the gym and I have a personal trainer sometimes, and he's basically a therapist, and he doesn't realise that I'm getting a really cheap therapist.
Well, you're better than me. I've never been to the gym in my life.
Oh, I have to do it. Otherwise, I go, in my mind, I need to go otherwise. But you've got music for that, I'm assuming. That's how you release your...
And I walk through Buckingham Palace, like, as my exercise.
Well, actually, that is something that I think I could recommend to anyone.
Just having a little walk.
To Buckingham Palace only. Oh, yeah. That's the only one that will really help you.
You lose, like, £4 on that walk.
Yeah,
you're stressed.
It's it.
It's hot.
But also, it is fucking massive.
Huge. And everyone's having picnics. I was like, this is over the top. It's, like, 12 degrees.
This is what I find weird, is that I'm really very much aware that it's still May and I'm going to wear a jacket.
Oh, I'm wearing a leather jacket and I'm profusely sweating out of my, like, my tits are literally dripping in sweat.
But it's like passive aggressively not allowing myself to believe it's summer.
I don't believe it, because you will get cold sometime in the day.
Because the sun goes in and then it's mortally free. It's like absolutely...
Like I'm in Ice Age.
So your parents are film composers.
My mum's a composer. She hasn't done film, but my dad is a film composer.
So they're both composers. So you had a musical start.
Yeah, I'd say just music, nothing else. Like, I mean, theatre and like acting and stuff, but never really had an opportunity to be an academic. Is that good? Academia? What is it?
To be in academia.
Yeah.
You and I couldn't be more similar, bar the fact that I can't make music. I couldn't be further from an academia myself.
So. Oh, well. At least we're each other's.
Well, we're like yin and yang.
Yeah, exactly. Are you a Pisces?
No, I'm a Leo.
Oh, that's why we get on. My boyfriend's Leo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that why? Because Pisces and Leo... Oh, my God, my girlfriend's a Pisces.
No.
Lol, yes.
March.
Yeah, March 13th.
Yeah.
Here we are.
It's because we respect each other's stardom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Do you believe in all that?
Yeah.
I really do.
Same.
You've got lots of tattoos.
I do.
Do you have some...
I've got a Pisces one.
There she is. She's got a fish.
I've got loads of that. I've got a matching one with my dad, who he was a tattoo virgin at 63, and I took him to the tattoo parlour as a surprise, and he was like, I'm not fucking doing this. And I was like, Dad, come on now. We're going to get
There's no
matching.
Point not doing it at 63.
No, and you've got wrinkly skin already. It doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about it getting wrinkly later down the line.
My mum will not stop talking about that. She what? Will not stop talking about the You'll fact that imagine, my skin's going to get wrinkly. Yeah. And I'm like, Mum... It's fine. This bit of the back of my arm is not going to wrinkle so heavily that the tattoo is not going to be visible.
We're all going to be tattooed and wrinkly.
Which is interesting because it's different in our generation.
We're all going to be.
Yeah.
So we're all going to be pleased that each other's going through the same shit.
Well, exactly.
We hey, this is Elle Devine. I just had the best time ever with Harriet on the show. I really like the fact that I can swear and I can't wait to come back and do it again.
FUBAR Radio presents... Ian Molesworth.
We are joined now by Caroline Sheen. Hello, Caroline. We're going to talk about 9 to 5, the musical. No, I was watching that Dolly Parton was there and there was a big reveal of her on the stage.
Yeah.
She was ace. It just felt exciting, even though I don't know much about Dolly Parton that.
Yeah.
I still felt the excitement of
She's
that.
She's an absolute legend. I mean, that woman, she came over for like 3 or 4 days to promote the show.
Yeah.
And then the next day was our opening night and she came on stage and spoke to everyone. And then she came off in the wings with the three of us girls and she wasn't with her like security people. And so she could speak really freely to us, and she was so lovely. And
she was just real.
And she's like, I want to come see it again, but without all these people.
Every Monday,
Ian Molesworth.
From 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
We're joined now in the studio by Tom Milner and Luke Friend.
Hello.
We're going to be talking about the 10th anniversary tour of Green Day's American Idiot. Now, very disappointed because I was under the impression Green Day were coming in.
Oh,
that's
oh,
why
what
that.
A
disappointment.
That's shit, that
And
it.
Then it's just two blokes. Two absolute randomers have walked
in. Billy Joe's got nothing on me.
Billy Joe looks different. Just the drummer from the band, he's got dreads now. Two blokes have just wandered in.
giving it.
We're actually just
day.
We're just fans of the music.
We're not in the musical.
well, no, but I always it's a thing because it's in it difficult. Years and years ago, I did tribute to the Blues Brothers, right?
Oh, hi. Nice.
Years ago, where I played that. Jake in that. I was understudy to Jake in that, and I'd done that a little bit before, and I always felt there was something about it. In how I felt, did it, where I felt, and by the way, I'm not throwing this accusation at you, I'm saying what I felt, a kind of a fraud.
Jeez, I was about to finish your sentence.
Yeah, I did. I felt kind of like, oh no, but I'm not it. I'm not actually it.
But you're never going to be it, are you? That's the thing, that's what you've got to remind yourself.
So within the show, are you using your own accent?
No, we're American.
Do a bit of American.
Do you know what? I'd love to do a version. I'd love to do a version.
September 12th. Last night I jerked off into oblivion.
There we go. That was all.
Very big theme on the show today, though, isn't it? But what you said about masturbation.
Jerking.
Talk.
There you go. Yeah. Fit in with it, didn't I? Yeah. Clearly been listening all day.
Jack off is a good way of saying it, aren't I? Jack off. Sounds too contrived. I think jack off sounds more casual.
Go on, Luke. Your American accent now.
Yeah, go on, Luke.
Life! Before the lobotomy.
That's nice. It's very good.
That's my kind of character.
There he is.
Are you contracted beyond this tour?
No, we're auditioning.
Right.
This tour finishes in July.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It might have an afterlife. That's all I'm saying. Ian.
No, it's because I wanted you to do it on the last night in your own voices. But
Saturday matinee, the last one.
But I don't need to do that if it means that you then don't get to carry on with it if there's opportunities.
Yeah, but
what do you mean? Is it coming on going, all right, duck?
September 12th.
Does that not appeal to your
last night? I jerked off into oblivion.
Hey, I'm going to sing a song now.
I'd change it to Tossed Off because I think Tossed Off sounds really funny.
I met this bloke down the road, down the alleyway. He's an absolute tosser.
I'd pay like up to triple price ticket for that.
Well, right then,
if I was told that was going to happen, I'd be like, "It's like, yeah, but it's a premium rate." I'd be like,
"It's just the title of the show is just a bit too much for us to do it in a different accent."
In theatre, there's
Yorkshire
always this thing
idiot.
About
a
last
idiot.
Saturday matinee where people prat around.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Yeah,
so. Just saying, we could do it.
I think if you flagged it up enough, it'd be all right.
Just don't say anything, just do it.
Change it from American Idiot to Yorkshire Fannies.
Yeah.
Just
Yorkshire Twats.
Yeah, Yorkshire Twats. Please, can we sing one of your songs as well at the same time?
Called St. Billy.
What's your relationship with Green Day themselves? How involved are they, or have they? I know they were involved with the show, right?
Do you know what they actually? They tweeted and Facebooked and everything about the show and when it's on, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, to say it's been done like three or four times, but Billy Joe was involved in it heavily when it was on Broadway. He was involved in the workshop stage.
That's right, yeah.
So, and he actually played Luke's character on Broadway for a little stint. So yeah, they've been heavily involved in it.
Yeah.
This is a slightly different version. Our director Raki Plugs has put her own spin on it,
right?
And she's absolutely amazing.
She is
because she's from a choreographer background.
Okay.
And because the show has no like scenes in it, she can physically show a story for you through dance and stuff as well.
Yeah.
So she deserves a massive shout out on this production.
Ace. Okay.
Which is amazing.
What do them audiences come? What do you think they're expecting?
You can expect, but what you expect is completely different.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to explain that. The show.
Well, you almost don't want it because you don't.
Before
it
goes through everything.
Yeah, I certainly did. It wasn't somewhere I'd visited as a kid, but there was something about the name of the Bradford Alhambra, and I just did their studio. I did get a gig. I've done several gigs in their studio,
right?
Which still felt like being at the Alhambra, but it wasn't the Alhambra main room and stuff. But I understand that there is a weight to the Alhambra.
It's not only that. I mean, it could be the smallest theatre in the world, which it isn't. But like. For me, growing up in Yorkshire and being a part of that from such a young age, and at that age, you know, you never think about I'm going to be on the stage. But if you did do, you'd go, nah, I'm never going to do that.
This sounds so ridiculous, but it's a classic cliche thing. But when you drive past somewhere all your life as a kid into a young adult, and you see flashing lights, and you see someone on a post, and you're going,
that's cool.
Oh, that's amazing. Imagine being that person, and then you actually go do it.
Yeah.
That's what it is for me and Luke, I think.
It's got strong political points as well, which...
Because the album was wrote in response to the 9/11 attacks.
That's right, yeah.
And that's obviously still relevant to this day, because we're still dealing with them problems today, aren't we? And so it's dealing with all of that, and I don't really want to delve into it. you've got to come see it to,
yeah, I get that,
to understand it. And like I say, you cannot go there with a vision of it and then come away and have the same vision. It's impossible.
And do you think it's something that is tied to Green Day fans, or do you think it does actually broach out of that?
I think it sounds like it does. I think what it does is it
brings two worlds together.
It does bring two worlds together, and it kind of educates people that aren't into theatre.
Yeah,
it educates them.
Yeah,
it also educates theatre people into this new way that theatre is actually going as well with the music. It's not all legit. It's not all Les Miserables, which is amazing.
Hi, I'm Angus Imrie, and I've just come off Ian Boldworth's show. It was great. I really, really loved it. What a treat! Like, so many interviews when you're talking about your work and things are so staid and difficult to engage, but it's just brilliant to be in there with Ian and that, and be able to just chat about anything and feel a freedom to be able to express yourself and really go off piste. It's just really good fun and actually makes it easier to talk about your work. So yeah, I'd recommend it to anyone who wants to listen to it, and I'll be delighted to come on again. Thanks for having me.
FUBAR Radio presents Joey Page.
And I'm very excited to be talking to Kelsey and Nick from Local Natives. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Letterman was fun. I had an interesting situation at the end of our set. He's like, "Oh, where are you guys from?" And here, I'll go over here so like it makes sense. So I was just like, "Silver Lake!" He's like, "Cool, thanks." And then he leaves.
Maybe to make you feel better, we'll do the reverse. So I'm going to get you to ask me where I'm from.
Yeah, where are you from?
Bexley Heath! Right, you got to represent where you're from.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday from 2 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Welcome into the studio, the Blinders. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming on. It's so nice to have you in here. Your album is really, really tremendous.
Thanks very much, man.
And we'll get into that in a minute. First of all, just a real congratulations. Columbia is such an amazing piece of work, and really putting the swagger back into music that has been missing in quite a lot of corners of new music. I think it's a really great, bold step and a great, big, amazing statement for a debut. So
thank you.
Yeah, I just want to know a little bit about the process of you guys making it, first of all.
Just put this concept together of Columbia, which was this idea of a new world, and obviously the, you know, some of the societal changes that we're going through in the UK currently with the Brexit vote, and then obviously with the US election vote having Donald Trump in, that was something that we wanted to capture, but not be too downtrodden about. So there is a fictional aspect towards the whole album, but we had a lot of fun creating it, and we're very happy with how it turned out. So
Columbia as a kind of title and the album artwork was such a like big kind of bold seeming statement before you'd even heard anything. Was there a part of it that gave it an extra bit of jeopardy or tension? Because if you were kind of hyping it up in that way, did that make you extra nervous being a debut?
I mean, having a debut album anyway is something that it's very nerve-wracking. You know, we were so apprehensive to release it. But the visual side of it was, I think our sound is very bold and very biting. So with that needed to come an artwork that complemented that. And so that's where, you know, the eyes of Columbia, if you like, come from. Yeah.
The whole album starts basically with like a real sort of visceral scream. I know it kind of has got a sort of background in punk and a touch of psych about it as well. So you guys must have such great musical tastes to sort of cram all this into the album as sort of reference points and influences.
I think
we've been brought up on a sort of wide range of, you know, obviously the classic sort of, you know, rock bands and legendary bands. I think, you know, everyone's got sort of, well, sort of, you know, those bands kind of inside out, and obviously everyone's kind of got their own little music taste where we all kind of go off and listen to his own bits, and that kind of influences the sound a little bit. So yeah, I think we sort of tried to magpie as much as we can almost. But a lot of the sort of white knuckle rides stuff you talk about, obviously a lot of the songs were kind of written with the live show in mind, or were sort of developed on stage, so that sort of comes as well from that, you know, natural sort of habitat.
You guys are from Doncaster. I know you're in Manchester now, but just give us a little bit about, because that's where you started making music when you were still living there. So what is it like having Doncaster as a backdrop for making music? Do you find that, because it feels like a lot of the time certain places in the north of England are very much forgotten about in the agenda of things, did you feel that gave you an extra sort of little axe to grind when you was making the album, when you're talking about some of the political statements you're making and things like that?
Yeah, I think that's certainly, I mean, you really hit the nail on the head there. Doncaster's a sort of ex-mining town, so obviously when sort of Thatcher came through in the 80s and sort of rid of all the pits, then there was nothing really left in Doncaster. So we are the offspring of those people, if you like. So
yeah.
But yeah, it influenced our political views, and but you know, just seeing it as a place and as a place of influence, then yeah, it exactly did that. But then moving over to Manchester just seemed so necessary. Because
of the scene and things like that. Yeah, yeah, sure. It's like a business decision almost.
Yeah, if you want to call it that. Yeah.
But and what is, because unfortunately, or possibly fortunately, I don't know, you'll be able to give me a better take on this. Not a lot of people will know enough about Doncaster.
Yeah, it's
like
just,
I've only ever driven through it. Like I do stand up comedy, so I gig in a lot of places, and I end up, or if I do go to somewhere like Doncaster, such a long drive,
I'll
do the gig and I'll get back in the but it's like I go to places like Grimsby or whatever, and everything is completely like shut, and a lot of places are going under. And so yeah, I wonder if you could give us a bit of a better picture of what Doncaster's like.
It's very similar to that. It's kind of your typical kind of northern town, you know, which once sort of had an incredible amount of industry, and you know, but now, you know, even stuff like the high street's kind of slowly declining and going. It's very sort of systematic or endemic of sort of what's going off all around the country, you know.
As a wider picture.
As a wider picture, really. Yeah.
Fubar Radio presents Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
The fucking king of R&B for me, Donald Johnson.
You know, appreciate it. Love ain't going nowhere. You know, that's universal. That's God.
Yeah.
So that's not going anywhere. You know what I mean? We can all get sex and all of that. You know, we can talk about that, but the love, the makeup, relationships, breakup, those things, that's going to happen.
Yeah. So my friend Millie says, I want to know why he doesn't make music for us anymore. Who have I got to sleep with to get a 2019 joint?
I don't know who you have to sleep with, but I mean, you will get a 2019 joint, that's for sure.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Every Wednesday
from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Got another artist. He goes by the name of Dan Marsh.
Hello, sir.
Thank you.
Not at all. So you're a New York native, but you live in London.
Yes,
now.
Yes, I do.
What made you decide to move to London?
I got some really great advice a few years back, kind of when I first started doing music professionally. They told me that for the music that I do is more eclectic, so making that music would be kind of difficult to, you know, for it to grow in the U.S. market. So they recommended that, you know, hey, go to Europe and see how you do out there. And, you know, I just took the advice. It took me a little bit of time, but, you know, I got everything together and came on over.
That's super interesting,
that's a big move, isn't it? That's a big step, man.
I've never heard like a sort of statement like that. People say, you know, so America is the place to make it, especially for American artists, you know? You know, English artists, everyone knows that it's famously difficult to crack America for British artists, but an American in America, you always just kind of assume that they're just gonna blow, you know. How long had you been doing music in the States before moving over to London?
4 years.
Yeah. So have you noticed any sort of stark differences between the way you're received over here compared to there, you know, the way things work?
Back home, it's more so about popularity. So it's all about who's watching, how many people are watching. And at the same time, our music market is a bit oversaturated. So it's a lot of the same thing. Mm. We're a lot of times for artists who don't make the norm music, you can't go on the straight and narrow. You kind of, it's like this off path. Mm. And in a lot of ways, you know, you really have to DIY it and, you know, figure out how it's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. But here it's like really welcoming, you know, as far as music. And at the same time, being here, of course I've been here before, but like to live here, you really get a chance to like listen to the culture and like what, you know, Londoners listen to. Mm. And I think it's really, really dope and it's nostalgic.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, people who appreciate early 2000 sounds and, you know, like the 90s and, you know, like I love the vibe here. Like,
it sounds like you found your tribe, which is amazing. Your inspirations are kind of super eclectic, from Anita Baker to Marvin Gaye to David Bowie, N.E.R.D. and Phoenix, you've cited. Out of those, who would you say has had the sort of biggest influence?
My biggest influence
influence, surprising. A lot of people would, you know, think Pharrell Williams, Chad Hugo, Neptunes, but it's actually Anita Baker.
Okay.
As a kid, I wasn't really allowed to like listen to hip hop and stuff like that. So it was a lot of R&B and like just her voice. Her voice was amazing. She's like a one of one. Mm. And I was like, oh my God. Like, if I ever sing, I have to create a voice. Mm. And I thought it was beautiful. So like to take that and that inspiration and then just apply my own creativity to that, you know, it was a great template.
Okay.
Yeah.
So coming over to London, you were saying you've kind of immersed yourself in the culture. Have you any British artists become firm favorites of yours?
Dan Crosley.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I love his music.
Okay, tell us about Dan. Tell us about Dan Crosley. I'm not sure if I've heard.
I've heard his name. I haven't heard his music. Mm. What's he?
I would say he's crossover. So it's like he's definitely got R&B. He's definitely got some pop. But yeah, truly, truly, truly gifted singer.
Yeah.
Him, Ruby Francis. I love her.
Yeah, Ruby's a friend of mine, man. She's awesome. She's amazing. She just supported Jody Abacus, who's a past guest of ours, a friend of the station, at the Jazz Cafe.
Yes,
quite recently, didn't she? Yeah, Ruby's amazing. She's a bit of an auteur, isn't she? She self-produces and writes all her own stuff. Have you guys worked together?
No, actually. Fingers crossed. So, hopefully we'll be able to work soon enough.
Have you met at all?
We've chatted a couple of times.
Oh, that's good.
On
okay,
IG,
cool.
Because
I was going to say I'd love to make an intro because I think you two would
make it happen.
I know she's amazing. Like,
oh, I think
production.
You still could. You've met a couple of times, but you could be the one to put this magic together.
Yeah, we got into the studio a few months ago, actually. To do some music on one of my projects, and she actually left her sunglasses in the studio, so I took them to mine. So it's a good kind of intro.
Yeah.
You left your sunglasses at mine, by the way, Dan.
A great segue.
That would be perfect.
Segue,
and then if you could just name check the sunglasses or you in the track that you make together.
Yeah, definitely name check. Definitely name check me rather than her own sunglasses. I think I've had them for ages as well. So I've got to get them back to her. Maybe you could give them to her.
Yeah,
I'll give them to you. Yeah, there's a plan. Nice when a plan comes together.
Hi, we're All Blue.
And we've just been on Michael and Marcel's show. It was a sick experience. Lots of fun, games.
Good show. Very funny, all three of them, even their producer. Be sure to check out FUBAR and be sure to check All Blue out as well.
Let's go home.
that stuff, that funk, that sweet, that funk is stuff. Give it to me. Give me that stuff, that funk, that sweet, that funk is stuff. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give me your stuff. That sweet, funk is stuff.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.